Let's start with prayer.
Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend at the end of this first day of the conference to sing praises to thee and to our Savior. And it makes us look forward to that time when maybe even tonight we're going to shout and we'll begin the eternal song of heaven above. We pray that it would be so. And as we now open thy word, we just pray that what is said would be for the blessing of each one here and for thy honor and thy glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. The verse here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, many years ago, there was a Sunday school teacher who asked the children in the class whether they had Bibles at their home. And one of the children said, at our house we have a Bible, but it has no Revelation. Now, of course, what that child meant is it didn't have the last book, Revelation. But the fact of the matter is, this is true for many homes and for many people. They have a Bible, but it has no Revelation. That is, there is no word, no revelation from God for them in the Bible. God does not speak to them through this book. And so this is true in so many cases, and it might be so here tonight for some. But the fact of the matter is exactly the opposite. Because, as we just read here, this is the Word of God which lives. This book is alive. It lives and it abides forever. And for those to whom this book is not living, it's because they're dead. And so we've got maybe both those kinds of people in the room here. And many of us have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live. Because there came a time when the Spirit of God took the Word of God and took it, brought it to us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And it used the precious Word of God then to produce life in us who were dead. So that now we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is no longer a dead book to us, but instead we can say here that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. And so, this Word comes home to those who are lost as well. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, this is not a gospel meeting, but I'd like to just speak a word of that for a moment. You know, in Romans chapter 10, it tells us in verse 6 that the word of faith speaks on this wise. In verse 7 it says, the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we speak, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so the living word of God is here tonight for you. If you know before God that you are a sinner, this word has the power to transform your life, to completely change everything for you, to take you from death to life, to give you salvation. And so verse 17 of Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we preach the word of God tonight. And if you will hear it, even those words that we've already said, they're life-giving words. And if you believe that, then you too can know your sins forgiven and have eternal life. This book transforms us. Here was a story once of a man who was in Africa. And he was going through a village there where they had been headhunters at one time. And there he saw a man reading a book, and he was curious, and he looked closer. This is an English trader who was doing this, and he saw this African was reading the Bible. And he scoffed at it and he said, you know, in my country that book is out of date. And the African looked at him and he said, you know, if this book was out of date here, you would already be down here. This book transforms lives. It's real. It's living. And it can transform you and me as well. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Some well-known verses there. Acts 17, verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now note this next part. Therefore, many of them believed. Now here's a remarkable thing. People that weren't believers searching the scriptures every day. Okay, I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, because I intend to talk with believers. But here they were unbelievers. But they were open to the Word of God and they were searching it every day and they wanted to see if this is true. And if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then pick out the Word of God and try it for yourself. It might be a dead book to you now, but believe me, you taste and see that the Lord is good and you'll be transformed. This book will change your life. And you will see, you will believe as well. And so here it says, many of them believed. And they read the Word of God, their lives were changed. But I want to say right now, for those of us who are believers, the Word of God is the same for us. It's not just the unbelievers that get changed by it, but it changes us as well. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is that going to happen for you and for me who are believers? It's going to be by the Word of God. Does it happen with us? Do we take up this Word and let it transform us every day? How often are these unbelievers taking it? Since they search the Scriptures daily. What about us who are saved? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually works also in you that believe. The word of God effectually works in all of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should know that. We've been born again by it. We read that in the first verse. And it lives and it abides forever. And it's been given so that we can grow by it. And it can work in us and change us day by day as we take it up and read it. And now, I just want to stop for a minute and ask a question. Did you read your Bible this morning? Every one of us. We say we love the Lord Jesus. We say we understand that He died for us. He shed His blood to wash our sins away. We say that we understand that He gave up everything for us. And now, what do we do? I'm sure most here have read their Bible this morning. Did you read your Bible this morning? Did we all take it up and read it? It effectually works in those who believe, it says here. But how much is it going to work in you and in me if we're not taking it up day by day and reading it? That's my burden, just to pass on these few minutes at the end of this hymn sing. Go to Psalm chapter 1. There's two well-known verses, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, I used to see a saying years ago going around the internet that 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Well, it's kind of catchy to say something like that. But actually, the truth is more serious than that saying. It's not 7 days without prayer, not 7 days without the Word of God that's going to make you weak. It's a lot less than that. A story is told of a famous musician who said, you know, if I don't practice for one day, I'll know it. And if I don't practice it for 2 days, my friends will know it. He said, if I don't practice for 3 days, everyone will know it. And it's no less so in the things of God. Here, this one had his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate day and night. You know, one did a study once. I was reading about a study of, I think it's over 1,500 young people who professed to be believers. And they, all of them said they had truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question was asked, well, how many pray every day? And 2/3 of them did. And then the question went on to how many of them read their Bible and how often. And it turned out that 1/4 of them read their Bible once a week. And another 1/4 didn't read their Bibles at all. And this may not just be limited to young people. You say, well, that's a different group. It's not this group. It's true enough. But still, how often do we read our Bibles? This one here in Psalm 1, he's happy. Why? He meditates in the law of his Lord day and night. That's every day. He takes it up. He's serious about it. You know, there's another poll about those who didn't read their Bibles very often, professing Christians, and what was the reason why they didn't? 51% of them said they didn't have enough time. Is that possible? Not enough time? Our lives are just too busy for the precious Word of God. The U.S. Bureau of Statistics for 2011, I think they had over 90% of the people in the United States watch television. And of those who did, the average number of hours that they watched television was 3.5 hours every day. Now, what about us? I'm not here to talk about the merits of television or the demerits of it. Point is, we have time. We have time to do what we want to do. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you will do what is important to you. Do you take up the precious Word of God every single day and read it for yourself? It's here for us. We grow by it. It effectually works in those of us who believe. But it's not going to work if we don't take it up. We need to take up this precious book and read it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Just a few more verses. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, there's something about first. There's a me first, or there's God first. It says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You say, I don't have enough time. The cares of my life press in. I get up in the morning and I need to get off get to work. And I work hard. At the end of the day, I get home, I'm tired, I go to sleep. And so I just don't have enough time regularly to take up this book and read it. Let me tell you, there have been times when I've been tempted to leave off the Word of God. And there have been times when I have done it. And just gone off because I've been so busy to do something. And I can tell you from my own experience that those are the days, for sure, when things don't go very well. Our Christian lives are lives of faith. The just shall live by faith. Four times over in the Word of God, we have to take up our walk before God is faith. And that means putting Him first, not saying I'm too busy for God. God takes the first place in our life, not ourselves. And so we need to make time for Him. And to give Him serious time. Really. Take time out of your life each day and give it to God. What if you took out of your day and gave an hour to God? Do you have that kind of time? Well, apparently people in the United States do all over the place. The average number of hours, again, 3.5 hours per day for television. And we as Christians are going to make the claim that we can't give an hour to God? Or what about 2 hours? Do you make 2 hours for God? Christian life is a serious commitment. Our whole eternity is going to be in heaven, not here. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up everything for us. He wants something back from us. Really, He's worthy of everything. He bought us. We belong to Him. Are we going to go and deny Him that time to take up His Word and in prayer each day? And even more, to give a significant period of time to Him? Let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now this is just exactly where we are. We're here in a world that is truly a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That is, if we're true believers. And this one who wrote the psalm said, early will I seek Thee. He's going to get up first thing and seek the Lord. And so that's the next thing I want to just ask. Is it too much to give the Lord the very first part of our day? You say, I'm not a morning person. Hey, probably if we went around and did a poll in this room, more than half the people here would not be morning people. But the fact of the matter is, we get up in the morning and we go and we do something. And usually before we do that, we eat. Why? Because we need energy for the day. And the same thing is true of this book. How can we go out and face the world without first having come and taken up this book before God? He says, early will I seek Thee. Is it possible that you could get up in the morning and open up this book and pray together with this book for 1 hour? Is it possible that you could do it for 2 hours? Before you did anything else, before you even ate, and then go off and do your job, or whatever other duties you have, school. Oh yeah, it's possible. The Lord Jesus did it in His life. The psalmist was doing it. Many others have done it. I'm sure a number here in this room do it every single day. This is the commitment as Christians we need to give to God. Whatever other commitments are in our life, it begins here with His Word. Let's go to one last verse. Exodus chapter 14. Two verses there, actually. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now he was testing them by this, but this is a picture of that food from God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God, this true bread of God come down from heaven, John 6 tells us. And the Word of God is what this manna pictures. And so just like they would pick up that manna and get the energy for their physical life every day, so we need to take up this Word of God every single day. And it will be a test whether we're going to obey Him, whether we're going to walk according to His Word or not. You know, we take up the Word of God every single day in our lives. We read it, and it sets the tone for the whole day. It puts there that fear and that respect for the Lord. It allows Him to speak to us through it and have our minds guarded first thing in the morning. We can go on and do it again throughout the day. But as we take that up, it gives that chance for the Lord to work, effectually work in us, before anything else comes into our minds. And so that when we go out into the world and we meet all the things that we are going to in the day, we've already been guarded by the Word of God. And so it's that first place. They took up this manna. Let's go down to verse 21. It says, they gathered it every morning. Every day they took it, and they took it in the morning. And so I just want to encourage each one of us here. I know maybe almost everybody already does it, but I suspect there's still some that are not. And even if we are, there's the question of how much time we are giving to the Lord. We can give Him the first part of our life. That is the most in our life. Most important part. First in time, first in the amount too, and the quality. So that our heart is in it. And our whole lives will follow. These things are things that we can put off. And so the final words I want to say are these. Don't think, oh yeah, that's something I could think about later. Maybe after these meetings are done, I'll go home and think maybe I should give the Lord a little bit more of my life. No, don't do that. If you have any purpose to please the Lord in your life, and there's something missing in your life in regard to what we've talked about tonight, don't wait till later. Start tonight. You know, we're at a conference, and this is very nice. There's a whole lot of us together. But we're going to have an awfully nice time visiting with one another. We love each other. We can't help it. We're Christians. And so we're going to have a great time visiting with each other. And yet we've come here to hear something from the Word of God and to be here to get something from God Himself and to enjoy the Lord together. Let's not forget that. And so, young people, I speak to you right now. You're going to have a good time after this. Go play together and do a lot of things. And then there's going to come a time when this whole place is closed down. You're going to have to go back to the hotel or wherever you're staying. And then, what? It'll be time to do other things, right? That can go on past curfew, if you can get away with it. Or with others in the room. To how many hours in the night? Maybe the whole night? Because you're having a great time. Young people, that's what we do. We end up robbing God. Morning comes and, well, I've got to get over there for breakfast now, but I was just too tired to get up and eat before the exact last minute to leave. And I didn't have time to get up to read my Bible. Is that what we're going to do? We're going to think, no. If I'm going to give God the first part of my life tomorrow, I need to get the bed of the good hour. Okay, let's back up a little bit. If I'm going to give God the first part of my life tonight, I don't want to get to bed tomorrow morning. Okay? These things are practical. And then there's tonight, spend time with God in prayer. Give time with the Word. Meditate on it. You meditate on the Word day and night. And then tomorrow, take it out. Give God the first part of the day. And make that, if it hasn't been your practice, make that the first day of your new practice. Make Lord's Day the second day of your new practice. And every day after that, continue it. And watch the Word of God work effectually in your life. May the Lord help us all to do this for His glory. Let's just close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we think of the tremendous privilege we have to have Thy Word. We think of how many years past did not have it. And even today, how many don't have it. And we think of how many don't know the power of it. They are not even saved. We pray for them. Pray that many would trust in the Lord Jesus. But we pray that Thou would work in each one of our hearts. That we would put out all those other things that come in, crowd out that first place that belongs to Thee. That we would take up Thy Word and through it be transformed. We just pray that each one of us would do this, be drawn closer to Thee, and bring Thee more glory and praise and honor in our lives. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.